12 minutes past 8 here on Morning Ireland. Well, it hasn't gone away. This week, the health service executive warned a new COVID variant called Eris is in Ireland. It says it's been associated with outbreaks in hospitals. There have been 644 cases of the virus over the past week. But there's no evidence of increased severity from infection, and the government isn't planning any more public health restrictions. For more, we're joined now by Colm Henry, who is Chief Clinical Officer of the HSE, who joins us now in studio. Good morning. People hear about a new variant. Should they be concerned?
Thank you. Well, viruses always mutate. Those mutations are usually of no significance. Occasionally, they are of significance, and we've become accustomed over the past few years to mutations that are significant, either because SARS-CoV-2, that's the virus that drives COVID-19, the mutation leads to something that's more transmissible, or some virus that escapes immunity. So what we're seeing now is this EG.5. It's a derivative of the known variant, Omicron variant, and it is more transmissible and certainly driving community transmission in recent weeks, not just here but internationally, and accounting now for a significant proportion of increased hospital activity of COVID-19.
So are you preparing for an increase in terms of admissions to intensive care units and hospitals?
So far, there's no evidence that this is more virulent or it produces more serious illness, and there's no increase in intensive care admissions. The WHO have labelled this subvariant a variant of interest, meaning there'll be enhanced surveillance not across all member states to see if there's any more serious illness, if it's driving increased admissions to intensive care units, and if healthcare systems are under pressure. But so far, there's no evidence of this. And based on our experience to date, we know that we have a much more robust population immunity from both from natural infection and from vaccination, and that should stand to our advantage with the surge in cases we're seeing out in the community, which are translating in lower numbers to hospital admission, and certainly not seeing any surge in intensive care admissions as yet, but which underlines the importance of adhering to those basic principles, such as people staying at home if they're sick, especially if they're healthcare workers, and of course for vaccination for those who are deemed to be particularly vulnerable for serious illness.
So people understood that as time went on, COVID might mutate to become some sort of cold. Is that not happening?
All the virus knows is to mutate. They mutate continuously, but when it mutates to a variant that is more transmissible, that will displace the existing variants, and that's what we're seeing here now. If that variant turns out to be much more serious illness, then it's a significant problem for people, for vulnerable people, for a healthcare system. If it mutates into a variant that's just easier to catch, but not more serious, then we'll see a surge in community transmission. And if enough people catch in the community, we will see some vulnerable people end up in hospital. And that's what we're seeing now. But so far, yet not a surge in presentations or conversion to intensive care patients.
So you mentioned, you know, potentially an impact in hospitals. We've been in a situation where we've seen continual overcrowding year round in hospitals in Ireland. So do you have a concern about what's going to happen when we go into the winter and we also have this new variant circulating in the community?
Always a concern, and the experience last winter saw a surge in COVID-19 cases, which coincided with a particularly high surge in influenza and RSV, and that placed healthcare systems right across the world under extraordinary pressure. The best thing we can do at this stage, in addition to the plans we have for enhanced cooperation between our community services and our hospital services in preparation for the winter, is to maximise the impact of our vaccination programme for COVID-19, which we'll be rolling out in autumn, and will be directed in particular at those who are most vulnerable and most at risk of serious illness.
So you mentioned your vaccine programme. Can you just give us a little bit more detail in terms of who do you think will be getting them? When will they be getting them? Where will they be getting them?
So what we're focusing now is in line with advice right across the world, is focusing on vulnerable populations. And in line with NIAC advice, the booster will be available from the end of September onwards for those aged 50 or more, those whose immune systems are not working properly, age 5 and upwards, those who have medical conditions that place them at higher risk of serious illness from COVID-19, and of course, as I mentioned already, healthcare workers. Because it's particularly important not just that they protect themselves, but to protect their patients, their colleagues, and the services where they work.
So all over 50s should get this new COVID booster?
That's what our advice would be.
Is that going to be in tandem with flu jabs?
Yes, we want to. We want to have, as with last year, our aim is to provide the flu vaccine to overall the same groups, and I mentioned healthcare workers in particular, and to make it easier for people to access both vaccines and to make the choice to take both vaccines to protect themselves, protect those they may be living with, and of course, as I said, in the case of healthcare workers, to protect the services and the patients that they're serving.
Will the COVID vaccine be effective against the new variant?
There's no reason based on evidence to date that it will be any less effective. The variant we're talking about today is a subvariant of Omicron, but the vaccine we intend to use for this coming autumn season is under evaluation by the EMA, and that evaluation will be complete by the end of August. And our hope and expectation is that that vaccine that we intend to use will be effective in preventing serious illness against COVID-19. And it's important to emphasise, David, that the vaccines we've been using to date remain highly effective in preventing serious illness for those who take the vaccine.
You only recently dropped the requirement for people to wear masks in healthcare settings. Is the HSE considering reintroducing that?
No, but masks remain our advice for healthcare workers who are dealing with patients with known COVID-19 or suspected COVID-19. And it remains within the power of all healthcare settings, be they hospitals, nursing homes or otherwise, to mandate the use of masks if the local risk assessment determines that there's a particularly high levels of community transmission or high risk of COVID-19 in any particular setting. And what was stopped was the universal application of masks in all healthcare settings because it didn't make sense anymore. So we expect in this kind of environment now where we see more cases of COVID-19 circulating in the community that hospitals will carry out their own local risk assessment, that they'll re-emphasise those standard measures which protect people at all times, including hand washing, including healthcare workers staying at home if they're sick so that they don't enter a healthcare setting and run the risk of transmitting the virus to somebody else. And of course, maximising the impact and the uptake of vaccines among healthcare workers for this coming autumn.
But just to stress that you're in an entirely different situation to the one you were in 2020 and 2021, where there was the threat of public health restrictions all the time.
Back then, we were dealing with what we call a very immunologically naive population. People, there was no immunity, either natural immunity or through vaccines to COVID-19. And we saw high levels of conversion from infection through to serious illness, hospitalisation, intensive care, and sadly, death. Now, that conversion, that link between infection and serious illness is much, much weakened. And that's because of the great, the heightened immunity of our population through either natural infection or through vaccination.
Separate issue, there's going to be industrial action among clerical grades within the HSE in a dispute. What's your position on that?
Well, we note the Forces have voted for industrial action and that will now enter an industrial relations process. Obviously, our hope is that industrial relations process will not lead to industrial action, but we let it go through that process and see what happens.
Another issue is that people from now are going to be able to apply for free GP visits for under eights. There's already a concern that the GPs are swamped and that it's difficult to get in, to get an appointment, to get seen, to get the treatment that's needed. Do you have a concern about that?
Well, acknowledge the pressures GPs have been under in recent years and the huge contribution they made to protecting the population during COVID-19, including seeing patients who otherwise could not go to hospital and enabling the testing and the rapid change in testing. And indeed, they had a key central role in vaccinating the population. What we're seeing now is an extension of free GP access, not just from the 0 to 5s, for those aged 6 and 7, which adds another 78,000 onto the list of people who have access to free GP care. And shortly we'll see an addition of those with median income onto that list too. So anything that enhances access to healthcare can only be good. It's a significant milestone in healthcare that people don't feel as an impediment to accessing primary care. There have been additional supports put into general practice, including extension of teams, staff, and importantly, enhanced training. We're going from upwards 250 trainees a year to 350 by next year, and ultimately 450 trainees per year. So the number of people, of trainees in general practice will have increased from 900 to 1300 by 2026. And so we want to make general practice stronger, more robust, but it's a significant milestone in Irish healthcare to see improved equitable access for children, for those of median income.
Finally, any news on the HSE winter plan?
Well, our winter plan this year is part of our whole year plan, and that includes enhanced working with community and hospitals, enhanced transitional care capacity, the vaccination plan I've mentioned already, which is key in preventing illness in the first place. And of course, this new way of working and the stronger links between, as I said, community services we've established through chronic disease hubs, through hubs of care for older people, which are now beginning to have a significant impact, not just last winter, but this coming winter. We are preparing a 3-year unscheduled care plan, which we'll be submitting to the Minister of Health, which will build on this kind of work and produce what we hope is a more holistic end-to-end care, which will be less reliant on people funneling through emergency departments to access unscheduled care.
Okay, Colm Henry of the Health Service Executive, thanks very much for joining us on Morning Ireland, where the time is now 23 minutes past 8.